This is Dr. Benny Tate, and I would like to thank you for tuning in to this week's message at Rock Springs Church. Wherever you are, I hope this message encourages you and helps you grow in your walk with God. Here's this week's message from Rock Springs Church. In John chapter 14, Jesus said these words to some guys that were discouraged, some guys that had forsaken the familiar. They had forsaken their finances. They had forsaken their family. They had forsaken everything to follow Jesus. And then Jesus said these words to them. He said, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go and prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." Let us pray. Jesus, I cannot. You never said I could. You can. You always said you would. So I pray today that you'll speak to us and through us. And God, more than anything, people that are watching online and people that are in our campuses and people that are here right now, that God, I pray if they don't know you, that they would come to know you as personal Savior. And for all you do, we're going to praise you. For I pray this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I want to talk to you about the rapture of the church. I read a story one time about a beautiful young girl and her grandmother. They get on a train, and they're seated right across from an accomplished commanding military officer and a young private. And they're just seated right across, and they ride the train quite a ways. They don't say a whole lot, but this grandmother and her beautiful granddaughter and this commanding officer and private, they're just looking at one another. And about that time, the train hits a tunnel, and everything goes dark. I mean, it's just deadly, just dark. And while everything is quiet and dark, all you hear is a kiss, and a smack. And then the train gets through the tunnel, and everybody's quiet, but everybody is thinking. The grandmother's thinking, "It was brash of that young soldier to kiss my granddaughter, but I sure am glad she slapped him." And the commanding officer's thinking, he said, "You know, it was brave of that private to kiss her." It was brave, but he was thinking, "I hate when she meant to slap him, she slapped me instead." And then the girl is thinking, the beautiful young girl, she's thinking, "I'm glad he kissed me, but I wish grandmother had not slapped him." And then the young private, he has a satisfied smile on his face. And he's thinking, there's not many days that you get to kiss a beautiful girl and slap your commanding officer too. Well, here's what I know. 3 out of 4 were in the dark. 3 out of 4 didn't understand what was going on. And folks, I am convinced when it comes to the end times, many times people are in the dark and they really don't understand what's going to happen. So I'm going to take some time and I'm going to talk to you about countdown to the end. We're going to discuss it all. We're going to discuss the Antichrist. We're going to discuss the mark of the beast. We're going to discuss the 144,000. We're going to discuss the tribulation period. We're going to discuss it all. But we've got to begin with message number one. And message number one is what is going to happen next. You say, "Pastor Benny, what is going to happen next?" What is going to happen next, ladies and gentlemen, is the rapture of the church. See, Jesus said, "Let not your heart be troubled." Let not your heart be troubled. There's the peace. Let not your heart be troubled. There's the peace. if ye believe in God, believe in me also. That's the pattern. The peace, the pattern. In my Father's house are many mansions. That's the place. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go and prepare a place for you. And then verse 3 says, and if I go and prepare a place, I'll come again. There's the promise. It starts with the peace, the pattern, the place, and the promise. I've had people say to me, Pastor, this world is falling apart. No, it's not. I want you to know something. This world is falling into its prophetic place. This world is falling into its prophetic place. You say, well, I don't know what the world's coming to. Well, I'm glad you came today. I'm glad. You say, well, that's awful audacious. No, it's not audacious. I know what this world's coming to. This world, ladies and gentlemen, is coming to Jesus. This world's coming to Jesus because the Bible says at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus is Lord. Now wait, Pastor. You're preaching on the rapture of the church. Is it true that the word rapture's not in the Bible? That's exactly right. But I'll give you something to think about. The word Bible's not in the Bible. Did you ever think about that? The word Bible is not in the Bible. Well, where do we get this rapture? Where do we get this rapture of the church? Well, the Bible says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Now, why would they rise first? I'll tell you why. They're 6 feet below us. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up. See, the New Testament was not written in English. It was written in Greek. And the Greek word for caught up was harpazo. Harpazo. It means snatching away. Snatching away. The Bible teaches that there's going to be a rapture. There's going to be a snatching away of the church. Now get this, folks. I'm not talking about Methodist. Many times when the scripture says there, the dead in Christ shall rise first, people think that means the Methodists are going to heaven first, but it don't. Some of you are slow, but you're worth waiting for. Amen. No. It's not talking about Methodist. It's not talking about Baptist. It's not talking about Pentecostal, Lutheran, Catholic, Presbyterian. It's talking about those that know Christ as personal Savior. Those that know Christ in the free pardon of sin. See, I want you to understand something. The Bible says 1,845 times that Jesus is coming back. 1,845 times Jesus is coming back. Do you realize, folks, at Christmas we celebrate the fact that he was born in a manger. Do you realize that every one time the Bible says he was coming the first time, 8 times it says he's coming the second time? For every one time that prophecy was given of the first coming, there's 8 prophecies given of the second coming of Jesus Christ. 23 out of 27 books in the New Testament strongly teach about the second coming, the rapture of the church. Somebody said, Pastor Benny, I just can't get that out of the Bible. No, you can't. It's there to stay. Amen. No, you can't. You can't get it out of the Bible. D.L. Moody made this statement. He said, the devil does not want us to see the truth concerning the coming of Christ, because nothing would wake the church up so much. The devil does not want us to see the truth concerning the coming of Christ, because nothing would wake the church up so much. My favorite preacher went to heaven in 2005. His name was Adrian Rogers. And Adrian Rogers said these words. He said, we ought to be living as if Jesus died yesterday, rose this morning, and he's coming back tomorrow. Now wait. So pastor, the next prophetic event is the coming of Christ. That's exactly right. Are there some things that had to be in place and have to be in place before Jesus can come? There are some things that had to transpire. But I want you to know, ladies and gentlemen, everything that had to transpire has transpired. I want to give you four of those things that had to happen. The Bible prophesied they had to happen. First of all is the rebirth of the nation of Israel. The rebirth of the nation of Israel. The most important city in the world is not Paris, France. It's not Rome, Italy. It's not New York. The most important city in the world, ladies and gentlemen, is Jerusalem, Israel. That's why it's mentioned more than any city in the Bible. It's mentioned 802 times. And if you want to understand the end, just study Jesus, just study Jerusalem, and just study the Jews. The rebirth of the nation of Israel. Let me explain. Just about every prophecy in the Bible deals with the nation of Israel. A little place that's 1/19th the size of California. A little place that's smaller than the state of New Jersey. Literally, it's the center. The Bible prophesied that Israel would be the center of the earth where continents meet. But all the prophecies are around the nation of Israel. But in 70 AD, there was a Roman general by the name of Titus who invaded Jerusalem, Israel. Not only did he invade and destroy the second temple, but he rebuilt Jerusalem, Israel, as a Roman city. So it was under Roman authority. But folks, it didn't stay under Roman authority. It was under Persian control. It later became under Arab control. The Crusaders controlled it. The Ottoman Empire controlled it. After World War I, the British controlled it. Here's all I want you to see. For 2,000 years, there was no nation of Israel. For 2,000 years, they had no identity. And the Jewish people, the diaspora took place. Pastor, when you hear the word diaspora, what does that mean? It talks about, it's prophetic about how the Jews were dispersed into 70 different nations because there was no nation of Israel. So it was confusing. All the prophecies dealt with a nation of Israel, but for 2,000 years, there was no nation of Israel. But something happened not far from here, ladies and gentlemen. On April the 12th, 1945, in Warm Springs, Georgia, the only president to ever be elected for four terms died only 80 days into his fourth term. His name was Franklin Roosevelt. He had a vice president who was actually the third vice president of his years in office. He was a vice president that the president had little confidence in. He had only met with him twice in 80 days since becoming the vice president. But this vice president was a little man. He was from Independence, Missouri. His name was Harry Truman. And Harry Truman was raised by a godly mother. And Harry Truman taught little Harry the foundation and the tenets of the Word of God and how the Jewish people were God's chosen people. And when he came into office, he began to encourage and pressure the United Nations to regain statehood to Israel. And ladies and gentlemen, on May the 15th, 1948, after being no nation, after being no nation for 2,000 years, the nation of Israel was revived and they became a state. They became a nation again. You say, Pastor Benny, was this prophesied? Isaiah said in Isaiah 66, verse 8, that nation would be born in a day. And the United Nations voted 33 in favor, 13 opposed, 10 abstained, and statehood was granted to the nation of Israel. And 11 minutes later, Harry Truman was the first world leader to call and recognize Israel as a state. You say, Pastor, why do you say all this? Because the Bible says in Matthew, now learn a parable of the fig tree. If you go to Israel with me, we'll eat a lot of figs. God said, that's right. There's figs everywhere. Because you got to understand, the fig tree in the Bible represents Israel. In Hosea chapter 9, verse 10, and in 1 Kings 4 and 25, anytime you see the fig tree mentioned, it's always symbolic of Israel. Now go back to the scripture. It says, now learn the parable of the fig tree, or learn the parable of Israel. When the branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, you know summer is nigh. It's talking about rebirthing. It's talking about living again. It's talking about the nation being born again. So likewise, when you see all these things, know that it is near, even at the doors. When Israel becomes a nation, you know it's near, even at the doors. Now look, verily, verily, I say unto you, this generation shall not pass away until all these things be fulfilled. Well, here's all we got to do, folks. It happened May the 15th, 1948. We've just got to go to God's word, and we've got to find out how long a generation was. We take our Bible to the book of Genesis. It says, and he said unto Abram, know of surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in the land that is not theirs, and they shall serve them, and they shall afflict them 400 years. Wait, the children of Israel were in bondage to the Egyptians 400 years. Verse 16 says, but in the fourth generation. So apparently in the Bible, 100 years is a generation. It doesn't take a mathematician. This generation, 1948, 74 years ago, this generation. Are you saying, Pastor Benny, that we've got 26 more years? No. I'm saying Jesus could come right now. I'm saying Jesus could come before I finish this sermon. I'm saying to you, ladies and gentlemen, the Bible is very clear. There had to be the rebirth of the nation of Israel before Jesus would come back. And ladies and gentlemen, it's happened just like God said it was going to happen. Now wait, there's a second thing that had to be in place. Jerusalem had to be under Jewish control. See, in 1948, when statehood was granted to Israel, Jordan controlled Jerusalem, and Egypt controlled the Gaza Strip. So what happened, Pastor Benny? When the Jews started coming back into the land, there were 650,000 of them initially. How many are there today? 7.5 million. Half of the Jewish population is in Israel right now. But they were 650,000. They were surrounded by 40 million Arabs. They were literally outnumbered 30 to 1. Something happened on June the 5th. Egypt, Syria, and Jordan attacked Israel. It was referred to as the Six-Day War. Israel won the war. Better than 20,000 Arabs lost their lives and less than 1,000 Israelis. What happened, Pastor? When you mess with Israel, you touch the apple of God's eye. When you mess with Israel, you touch the apple of God's eye. Ladies and gentlemen, he that watcheth over Israel neither slumbers nor he sleeps. They're God's chosen people. They always have been God's chosen people. They always will be God's chosen people. And when America decides we're going to bless Israel, God will bless America. And when America says we're not going to bless Israel, God's not going to bless America. Now wait, Pastor, you told us that wonderful history lesson. It's not only a history lesson, it's a biblical lesson. And they shall fall by the edge of the sword and shall be led away captive unto all nations. Remember I told you about the diaspora? 2,000 years ago this was prophesied. And Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the Gentiles. Wait, the Ottoman Empire will control it. The Brits will control it. The Crusaders will control it. The Arabs will control it. It's going to be trodden down to the Gentiles. There's only two groups of people, Jews and Gentiles. Until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled. God said 2,000 years ago there'd come a time that the times of the Gentiles would be fulfilled. And it was fulfilled in 1967, just like God said. This is the third thing that had to happen. There had to be the knowledge explosion. 2,500 years ago, Daniel made a statement. 2,500 years ago, Daniel said, during the end times, men will run to and fro. To and fro. Midnight. Midnight, Friday night. If that's not Jesus, hang up on him. Midnight, Friday night, Barbara and I are coming through the airport. I said, Barbara, this is crazy. People everywhere. And I couldn't help but think about it. Men shall run to and fro. Daniel, you were seeing this. And you were seeing knowledge being increased. From the year 1900, literally, knowledge was increased every 100 years. Knowledge was increased. In 1945, knowledge was increased every 25 years. In 1982, knowledge was increased every 12 to 13 months. Today, knowledge is increased every 12 hours. God said there'd be a knowledge explosion. But wait. You say, isn't it wonderful, Pastor? We're having this knowledge explosion. It is wonderful, but the Bible says this, in the end, they'll be ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Ever learning. Men leaning to their own understandings, trying to be greater than God, trying to figure it out on their own, trying to do it on their own. But we need men to be like Abraham Lincoln. And say, I've been driven to my knees by an overwhelming conviction that I had nowhere else to go. My wisdom and all about me seemed insufficient in the day. I don't have time to elaborate, but I'll deal with it all. If you'll come, I'll deal with it. Because I think it's important. During the tribulation period, two witnesses will preach. And they will be killed. They will be killed by the Antichrist. And look what the Bible says is going to happen. And their dead bodies shall lie in the great, shall lie in the street of the great city, which is spiritually called Sodom and Egypt, where our Lord was crucified. Well, where's that? That's pretty simple. It's Jerusalem. And they of the people and kindreds and tongues and nation shall see their dead bodies 3 days and a half. Wait. He wrote this in 90 AD. How can nations and kindreds and tongues and everybody see their bodies? We're watching a war right now before our very eyes. He wrote this in 90 AD, ladies and gentlemen. How could it happen? Because of a knowledge explosion. Let me give you the last point and I'm done. Stick a fork in me. What's the last sign that had to be fulfilled? Wars and rumors of wars. It's in Matthew 24 and 6. You'll hear wars and rumors of wars. You see, Pastor, what's happening right now in the Ukraine? Russia, Putin's invaded. What? Tell us, Pastor, what is this? Ladies and gentlemen, this is just a prelude to what's going to happen. It's just a prelude to what's going to happen. See, in Ezekiel chapter 37, the nation of Israel is revived. In Ezekiel, go home and read it. The nation of Israel is revived. And then we get to Ezekiel chapter 38. Let's go there. And the word of the Lord came unto me saying, Son of man, set thy face against Gog. Gog is a person. Gog is a prince. Gog is a leader. Could Gog be Putin, Pastor? I believe possibly. I believe in all likelihood, probably is. Gog is a person. Set thy face against Gog and the land of Magog. That's the land around the Black Sea that's now occupied by Russia. The chief prince. See that little word chief? When the Old Testament was written, it wasn't written in English. It was written in Hebrew. And that little word chief was the Hebrew word rosh. R-O-S-H. It's the root word for Russia. The chief prince of Meshech. That's the Hebrew for Moscow. And Tubal, that's a large city in Russia. And prophesy against him. And say, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I'm against thee, O Gog, the chief prince of Meshach and Tubal. The Bible tells us that there's going to be an invasion of Israel. And Russia will head up this invasion. That Russia will head up this invasion. I'm going to deal with it, but I need a complete message. I don't have enough time, and you don't want to stay here that long. I need a complete message, and I'll take a complete message. And I'll talk to you about what's happening and what Russia's going to do. But Russia will form an alliance. Verse 5 tells us some of the nations that will form an alliance with Russia. One of those nations, Persia. You say, Pastor, that doesn't make sense. Oh, yes, it does. Because in 1935, Persia became Iran. And as I speak, Russia and Iran are working together on their nuclear program and literally believes that Israel should be annihilated from the face of the earth. Listen, folks, God's word is more current than tomorrow's news. I'm on the treadmill this week, and they've got Fox News. I'm watching Fox News or CNN, one of them. You know, I watch all that, and I watch all the news, and I read my Bible every day. You say, why do you do that? I want to know what both sides are up to. You say, well, I believe every bit of that. No, they've got agendas that doesn't include you. You hear me? But I'm watching the news, and it says Iran has now developed 3,000 missiles that literally will reach Israel from Iran. And I said, God, it's happening right before our very eyes. Wars and rumors of wars. Here's what I would say to you. If you don't know Christ, come to know Christ. Eternity's too long to be wrong. I'm not trying to make a Methodist out of you or a Baptist or anything like that, but come to know Christ, because he's coming back to get Christians. He's coming back to get those that have put their faith in him. Pastor, I don't have to be baptized to go to heaven. No. But you do have to be baptized to go to heaven obediently. Let me tell you something. Jesus began his ministry by getting baptized. And the last thing he told us to do was to get baptized. You got to get that right. You say, well, I was christened. No, you don't understand. It's believer's baptism. It's after you accept Christ, you follow him in baptism. It's believer's baptism. Now, here's what I want to do today. Out in that foyer, I have a table set up. Because I knew some of you need to get baptized. And you say, I don't have my clothes. I don't have my shorts. I've got it all. I've got the towel. I've got the shirt. I've got the shorts. I've got the undergarments, toiletries. I've got it all. Well, I want my mom to see it. Oh, we stream everything. We're going to stream right on through. Just text her and say, Mom, be watching. I'm going to take the plunge. No. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. The enemy will tell you to wait. The enemy will tell you to push it off. No, don't push it off. Let's get it right today. Let's get it right today. Folks, the hope of the world is a local church in every community. Why I say don't give to our church, give to your church. Why am I going to Alabama tonight? Why was I in Missouri this week preaching? Why do I travel all over the world preaching the gospel? Because the hope of the world is the local church, and everybody needs to be a part of a local church, a local Bible-believing church. So if you're not a member of Rock Springs Church, let's get it right. Because this thing's wrapping up. A little girl, they had a grandfather clock, and that old grandfather clock began to chime, and it chimed 10, 11, 12, but it's strange. There was a mechanical error, and it chimed 13, 14, 15. And that little granddaughter looked at her grandfather and said, Papa, it's later than it's ever been. Friend, I'm not a date setter, but I will tell you this, it's later than it's ever been. And if we're going to do something for God, let's do it. If you hadn't been baptized, let's get baptized. If you're not saved, let's get right with God. If you're not a part of the church family, let's join the church. If you're not serving God, let's start serving God. If you're not giving to God, start giving to God. Folks, I never want to be able to do this if I'm not willing to do this. If the hand will go up, but it won't go back, there's something wrong. No, that's not the message. Somebody said, thank God. You know what I mean? But listen, folks, if we're going to do something, we need to do it. Because the coming of the Lord draws so nigh. We got family members that don't know Christ. Some of you got children, brothers and sisters, mama and daddies that don't know Christ. Did you ever think about this? I'm done, but Abraham kept praying for Lot. And God spared Lot and his family. And then the scripture says, God remembered Abraham. It didn't say he remembered Lot. He remembered Abraham because Abraham stood in the gap for his family.
Thank you for joining us for this week's message from Rock Springs Church. If you would like more information about Rock Springs, be sure to follow us on social media or connect with us at rockspringsonline.com. Join us right here next week for another message from Rock Springs Church.